Two down. Three left. The voice giggled. You're going to lose the midnight game.
I ignored it. I pulled up my phone and I checked for any messages. Nothing. I frantically began typing a text when my candle went out. In my haste, I relit it. I once again had to drop my knife and stow away my phone. Candle relit. A sharp noise from behind me made me turn around. I'll never forget what I saw. It was Carlton. His face gaunt and pale, his eyes sunk deep into his face, his hair white, arms crossed over his body. I blinked in surprise and began running towards him, willing myself not to scream his name. Carlton remained stock still as I wrapped my arms around him, careful not to burn him with my candle. Then he spoke. I felt my blood run cold. It wasn't the voice of my friend since kindergarten. It was a hollow, distant, empty voice.
Larry?
No human being could have made it. There was no cadence to it at all.
Larry?
I let go of Carlton and I stepped back from him. Looking into his haunted eyes, I felt something stir within me, a pit of primal fear. Atavistic in its simplicity.
Run,
Carlton said.
Run, Larry.
He took a step forward. And I ran. I ran as fast as I could, not daring to stop for even a second. Like a rat between the walls, I turned each corner with complete carelessness. Spray-painted words of red, black, purple, and other colors passed me by. They spoke to me. They are what lies beneath. They stir. They're working. What happens when they wake? I'm sure it was just my mind playing tricks on me. I'm sure of it. Because I didn't dare try to consider the idea that it wasn't. By the time I'd stopped running, I was in a room with a rusty steel table, moldy curtains on a tray with twisted surgical instruments. An operating room. That's what this was. It was obvious at a glance. Something moved in the corner. My eyes snapped to it. He was a rat. A big black rat with two dark eyes that stared into me. It sat on its hind legs, nose twitching as its front paws were held out in front of it. It winked, then turned around and darted into the corner, literally. The pink tail slithered into the wall through a hole. My candle was still gripped in my hand. I tightened my grip, unwilling to take my eyes off the corner. The fifth voice spoke in my ear.
Ah,
it said.
How interesting. A rat that winks. Who do you think taught it to do that?
It paused. I felt something slightly touch my shoulder. A gust of warm air blew over my ear before it spoke again.
Do you think you could fit in the walls if you tried?
The rat appeared in the hole, head tilted impatiently. Its nose twitched and then it suddenly sprang out, rushing across the floor towards me. I almost screamed when it reached my leg. Then it jumped into the air next to me and stopped in midair, claws latching onto something that I couldn't see as its teeth began furiously chewing.
Oh my,
said the fifth voice, amused.
It's caught my leg.
Somehow I could feel its gaze focus on me.
Are you gonna turn down a gift horse?
I heard footsteps behind me. Slow, shuffling, patient steps, and a dry, empty husk of a voice saying my name, getting closer. Carlton had found me. He never lost me.
Hattie?
I took my chance. I ran towards the corner. I knew that I wouldn't be able to fit through the rat hole, but somehow a part of me that hadn't been used for generations since the days of cavemen knew that I had to get into the wall. I began kicking at it, imagining that it would take a good few kicks to knock it down. It fell apart on the first kick. There was a squeak from behind me, and I didn't get the chance to turn around before the rat rushed past my leg and through the widened hole. I followed instantly. The space between the walls was cramped, yet wide enough for me to walk through. My candle guided my every step, keeping the rat in view the whole time. When it turned a corner, I followed. I didn't think until later about why Hammond Asylum had walls large enough to accommodate a person, let alone someone my age. When my phone buzzed, the rat stopped and turned around, looking right at me. I paused. The rat seemed annoyed at this as it squeaked, nodding its head. I took the hint and I pulled out my phone. It was a message from Benny. Guys, I got Josie out of the basement. We're heading to the front entrance. I can't find Greg or Carlton. What about you, Larry? I began to reply when Benny started another message. Wait, I could see Greg. He's in the west wing. My eyes widened. I immediately changed my message. Benny, don't go near Greg. Don't go near Carlton. Find somewhere to hide and I'll come get you. Josie replied to me before Benny could. Larry, what are you talking about? I began typing when I heard a scream. It wasn't Benny. It wasn't Josie. It was an inhuman, howling scream from directly beneath me. The rats squealed again, agitated from beneath me. I heard footsteps pounding across the floor. From behind me came a slow, distant voice.
Larry?
I looked at the rat and stuffed my phone away. I was about to get the knife when I realized something. I'd lost the knife, hadn't I? The voice spoke again, coming closer.
Larry, I'm coming.
The rat turned away and began running. I followed it. I kept following it until a hole opened up in the floor. It seemed to swarm and convulse like a mouth, opening to reveal the darkness beneath. The rat went first, and I followed. I didn't think. I just jumped. A sharp pain racing through my legs when I hit the ground and hissed through the gritted teeth. Then I took in my surroundings. Rats. More big, black rats, all staring right at me. There was a rush as some of them swarmed upwards, and the hole closed. The rest regarded me with a suspicious glare, almost like they were accusing me of something. I held my candle as I slowly turned around, seeing the entire room was covered by rats. Far more rats I had ever seen or would see again. In the candlelight, their incisors gleamed when a few opened their mouths. One of the rats crawled forward. I paused, looking down at the rat as it stood on its hind legs. It winked at me, then turned around. It chirped. The other rat skittered away, revealing a door. On the other side, I could see the hallway illuminated by the green sunlight. The rat looked back up at me for a moment and then rushed forward and crawled underneath. I just managed to reach the door myself and the door opened on its own. The rat was sitting patiently on the other side. Slowly, I poked my head out the door and I looked down the hall. Checking first to my right, then my left. Empty. The hall was completely empty. I breathed a sigh of relief. And then my candle went out. Hey there, kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and thank you so much for listening to the Mr. Creepypasta Storytime Podcast, found on Spotify or anywhere else where you guys happen to find podcasts. Or if you didn't find me there, then thank you for watching on YouTube and subscribing to the YouTube channel, Mr. Creepypasta. Or if you haven't found me there, then I have literally no idea how you could have found me. And now, for patreon.com/MrCreepypasta, which you can always find in the link in the description, I want to give you all a very big thanks. There's many of you down there in the descriptions who I give big thanks to, and everybody also at this tier, like Dr. Strawberry, Jordan Alexander Sanchez, Ken Lando Higuchi, Brianna Ventine Jensen, Chompinski, The Red Oak Shield Virus, Sandy Barney, H.G. Weevil 3, Diana Krause, Stephen Van Huss, Tristan Pelton, Nico Kao, The Ginger Bros, Dante Rao, Rafael Rodriguez, Last Blade Song, Don Muehlmeister, Eliminator 86, Nebsky, Steampunk Sinner, Optimistic Avocado, Caleb Dougal, Daniel Paulson, Finley, and Sky Harbor. You guys are the MVPs, and you guys keep the channel running, and I honestly cannot thank you enough for all that you do. That's all for tonight, guys. Sweet dreams.